With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet for up to $500. Terms and conditions do apply, so go get the details at WynnBET.com and download the app today. And we're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up at UnderdogFantasy.com with promo code SGPN and receive a $25 entry to use in Best Ball Mania 2 for a chance to win $1 million. And make sure to tune in on Draft Day 7/13, where Ryan Kramer will attempt to draft for 24 hours straight. And, of course, do not forget to download the SGPN app in the App Store or Google Play Store today. All right, welcome back, D-Gens. It's your boy, Boston Capper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer, to ignore the John Deere Open, and we're going to talk about the Scottish Open today.
Yes, we are. We're going to actually talk about a tournament that matters this week, because there's way more guys playing in the Scottish Open that's going in the Open than the John Deere. So, yeah, but first of all, we'll do some housekeeping. How was your fourth?
It was good, man. Lots of food, drinking, played some games, watched a ridiculous Florida neighborhood fireworks show. Surprisingly, no one got injured, but neighbors put on a hell of a show, man. Tommy's neighbors did a hell of a job. It was good, man. It was nice.
Are you purposely avoiding the heartbreak we had on Sunday with all the outrights and guys we had in contention that did not come through?
Yep.
Okay. So you don't want to talk about it? You don't want to talk about Kevin Kisner?
I was off of Kisner, so I didn't care about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were sending me text updates while I was driving in the car. I was like, you know what? And the way Siri, talks to me when you were saying, oh, Kis bogeys. And I have a South African accent, too. That's the setting. I was like, you know what? Just stop. But then I saw Hank Lebioda climbing up. I'm like, okay. Because I live bet him 80-1 on Friday.
Nice.
I was pretty pumped. I saw he had 2 par 5s come up. I'm like, he's gonna get the 19. He's gonna win this. I'm gonna be a genius. I can't tout because I didn't say it,
Right on the show,
On the show, but hey, I'll take 80-1. But three putting the par five was pretty bad, and Cam Davis hitting an eagle from the bunker also bad. A lot of bad things were happening as Hank Lebioda was on his way to 3 putting. So. But, listen, congratulations to anybody at Cam Davis. I think a couple of guys in our Slack channel had him.
I live bet him on Saturday when he was
you didn't tell me that.
Whatever. It was just, I put $50 on plus 450 or something like that. Whatever.
Oh, all right.
It was enough to hedge a little bit. What really pissed me off is I saw somebody, before he made that eagle or right after he made that eagle, he was fucking 500-1 or something like that. Because there was so many guys at the top of there was a couple people on Twitter who caught some books fucking sleeping. And of course it was the fourth and I wasn't trying to live bet it. Whatever, family stuff. And I was damn it though. That's a hell of a catch. You know what I mean? That's a great catch, the bookie sleeping.
Yeah, that is a big missed opportunity. It's a big missed opportunity for both of us, but that's okay. Yeah. I actually had a decent weekend. I tailed a lot of top 20s. Yeah. I did all right with matchups, too. But now we're going to go to the Scottish Open, which is not your comfort zone. And I'm really looking forward to not only trying to see you break down this DraftKings field, but also see how you pronounce some of these names.
Boy. I'll just make up nicknames.
I wish this was on YouTube. Trepidation and fear in Boston Capper's face as we're about to handicap the European tour, which is something we haven't done, something he doesn't do.
Nope.
So you want to just get to it?
Yeah, let's get to it, man. I guess break down the course for everybody. We got to do all that shit.
All right. Well, do you know where they're playing?
Yeah, Scotland.
Okay. It was called the Renaissance Club.
Renaissance Club. They played there, what, the last 2 years, right?
Yes. So in 2019, Bern Veezer won in a playoff, and last year, Aaron Rye beat your boy, Tommy Fleetwood, in a playoff. Boy. I know he's not. Well, he was your boy with how he lost that playoff. I think he missed like a three-footer to extend it. So
sounds about right.
Exactly. So... so I'll talk about a little bit of the backstory of this place. So in 2002, a Jacksonville businessman, you're not going to watch Steve. Do you know who this is? Jerry Sarvati?
No.
Doesn't ring a bell? Don't you know everybody in Jacksonville?
No. What are you talking about? No.
Okay. Well, anyway, so he was hanging out at Pinehurst, you know, sipping on beer, whatever he was doing. And he was approached by some guy from the Duke of Hamilton.
Ooh, sounds fancy.
Yes, I know. He basically owned a large plot of land next to Murfield over in North Berwick. You know, Murfield has hosted a lot of open championships. The last time they had it was in 2013 when Phil Mickelson won. But there was this large unoccupied plot of land where this guy had an estate, and they wanted to build a golf course. So they approached Jerry, and he had a bunch of money, and he ended up hiring a guy named Tom Doak, very famous architect. Doesn't have many courses on the PGA Tour they played. The only one they played was Memorial Park with the Houston Open last fall. But he's more known for a lot of his resort destination-style golf courses, like Pacific Dunes, Cape Kidnappers, Barndoogle, or whatever that's called in Australia. I mean, just beautiful coastline golf, minimalist golf courses. And... so Sarvati basically said, like, I need Tom Doak to do this. So they approached the Scottish government. They got approval to buy the land. The problem was that, like, the most valuable and best part of the property was by the bay, but they didn't have access to it. They weren't allowed to build it. I guess it was an environmentally protected site. So they had to build basically in the forest. And it wasn't really – it was a good golf course, but it wasn't, like – up to its potential. Like, it definitely wasn't Tom Doak's vision. But eventually in 2011, they finally got the permit to do it. They ended up building three new holes down by the bay. And then the first three holes of the original design just got turned to a practice loop around the driving range. So it's actually a pretty nice practice facility now, because you can just hit golf balls and you can play three, you know, holes to get warmed up, and then you go play. While they were actually tearing down the forest, they found this old, like, stone wall from, like, the 1400s or so. And it's actually now a central feature of the golf course. It runs through the property. It's like behind a couple greens. I think it even bisects a fairway, I think on 16 too. So that's a cool little feature. So what is this place though? So it's a par 71. It's got four par fives and five par threes. It's just under 7,300 yards. And it really plays just like a lot of links type golf course. It plays basically how the weather goes. So a couple of years ago, I was saying Bern Veezer won it like 22 under. That year, it was damp. There was no wind. It was soft. Like, guys are just firing at pins. It was a putting contest. And then last year, because of COVID, it shifted over to September. And it was definitely more traditional Scottish weather. It was windy. It was rainy. It was cold. And the winning score was still, it was 12 under. But I think Lee Westwood shot like a 62 on Thursday.
Jesus.
And then they were only able to get to 12 under the rest of the way. So it's overall, though. So, like, one of the knocks on it, it's not really a quote unquote true links course. Basically, what you got to be in order to be a links course is by the sea. Everything is through the sand dunes. It's by the coast. Well, most of the golf course is set up the hill in the woods there. It's kind of a little bit of a flat property up there. Only three or four holes actually play by the water to make it links. The greens are also much different than old style links golf courses too. It's much more Americanized, the greens. Like, there's a lot of crazy undulations and sloping to it. It's almost a little too severe. You know, a lot of the reviews from the guys over in Scotland who play this say, well, I mean, it's, you know, when the wind is up, it kind of makes the greens a little bit kind of unplayable. But it's challenging for the pros, because Doak didn't want to just build traditional flat greens that these pros can carve up. He wanted to have some creative undulations to it. So, but I mean, there's still a lot of links characteristics to it. There's a lot of good undulations to the fairways, not a lot of flat lies. There's a lot of good use of pop bunkers, especially on the greens too. There's a lot of collection areas where the balls run out. I mean, they're actually real, like, hard to get out of too. Like, they're real pop bunkers, not like the stuff over in the States here. It's wide fairways too, but there's a lot of thick, like, meadow grass and, like, heather rough just flanking it. So it definitely plays like a standard links course that you would find, like, where, you know, when you think about like an open championship or a links style golf course, you know, you got to keep it in the fairway. it's actually a real penalty for guys hitting in the rough, because, you know, it's not like where a longer hitting can gouge out of it. Here, you're not really getting out of it. It's basically a not necessarily a lost ball, but you're basically hacking out. But there's wide enough corridors for an accurate hitter to who hits a lot of fairways that can do that. It's pretty big greens too. And just, you know, kind of looking at, like, you know, decent scrambling, good putting, like those types of, like, it, like links courses are kind of like for the short knockers. That's why you see like a that particular type do very well at these types of tournaments. So that's something I'm going to be looking for, you know, kind of looking and see like how guys are hitting their irons lately. We'll get to the weather report shortly, but I think this is going to be might turn into a putting contest based on how the weather conditions are. So you got to be a pretty good putter too. Those, you know, and, you know, be able to get up and down, just consistent golfers, good ball strikers, precise. That's kind of what I'm looking for this week.
What type of grass is on the greens over there?
So it's fescue. So basically it's another type of bent grass.
Okay.
Yeah, it's I mean, there's a lot of different types of bent. It's not the same bent as over here, but fescue is just another word for bent grass.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. So, because it doesn't sound particularly, it doesn't sound particularly short, but it doesn't sound particularly long either.
It would play a lot shorter if it was firm and fast, but I think Scotland's been getting a lot of rain lately. I think the UK in general has been getting a lot of rain. Like, I know next week at Royal St. George, they're already talking about it looks very green. It's very lush. It's not going to be a firm and fast, like, baked out golf course. Like, I think some people kind of want the Open Championship to be.
Yeah.
Right. This is, you know, I think they're going to get a little bit of rain during the tournament, but there's no wind either. So I think it's going to play a lot like 2019. But if they played a couple tournaments or a couple places for the Scottish Open since 2010. But if you look at where like some of the winners are, and I think this is going to make you happy. Like, it's not really a whole lot of crazy long shots. And it's a lot of guys who are kind of household names. Like, there's a lot of guys between like 20 and 40 to one have won. There's only two guys 100 to one or worse that have actually won the Scottish Open in the last 10 years or so. One of them is Brandon Stone, who at one point was like the number like 60 golfer in the world. And he had like a bunch of wins to his resume. So he wasn't like an unknown commodity. And the other guy was, you probably don't know who he is, but Jeev Milka Singh.
Like, he's no.
No, but he was a really good Euro Tour player back in the mid 2000s. He won in 2012. So like, he was like a known commodity there. And then like other guys have won. Like Aaron Rye last year was like the breakthrough winner, but he was 50 to one that went off. You know, he's playing really well coming in. The year before that, Bernd Wiesberger, 40 to one. He's a, you know, a known commodity. Rafa Cabrera Bayo is a former winner of the Scottish Open. Alex Noren, Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose, Phil Mickelson, Luke Donald.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, as far as like outrights go, I think you got to have a little bit of win equity. I think it's going to be more of like the Euro flavor as far as like some of the attributes I described, but I don't think you have to get too crazy with some of the names. And I think if you go with some more known commodities, which I know you're probably going to be a little more comfortable with, you'll probably end up hitting that outright.
Okay. I like it.
All right.
All right. All right. What's the weather look like?
Well, I mean, like I said, there's not a whole lot of wind, especially the first couple of days. It looks like the only time the wind's going to pick up is probably Sunday afternoon, which, I mean, at that point, like, all bets are off. It's fine around. Like, we'll see. But in order to like get there, it's going to be real benign conditions. It's going to be a lot like 2019. I think they're going to get some rain on Saturday, too. It's not going to be like the crappy Scottish conditions that I think we wanted to be. So I would expect the winning score probably be close to like 1800 or 20 under again.
All right. All right, well, listen, before we jump into breaking down all these names, which I'll be fine with up until a certain point, listen, let's talk about WynnBET. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promo codes, odds, and parlays happening right now at WynnBET. So get started today, and you'll receive a special offer of up to a $500 risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions do apply. Get the details over at WynnBET.com and download the app today. What killed me was the place that I get my data from doesn't give me any data for this tournament.
Well, because there's no strokes gained data. Although
there's strokes gained data on these fucking players.
Well, like,
at least, you know what I'm saying?
So you get it from Data Golf.
I know.
They have to do it manually in order to do it. So, and they do have a query tool where you can actually look at the last 50 rounds, the last 16 rounds for like just basic stuff. Like
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's all I was looking for.
The only problem with using that is a lot of the Euro players look a lot weaker than the PGA Tour guys because they adjust for strength of field. Now, I don't like that they do that. I wish they just did the raw numbers, but it is what it is. Apparently, there's a forum on DataGolf now where you actually can request stuff. I actually might write in and say, hey, can you stop doing that? Can you just give me the raw strokes gained data? So
that sounds like something you would do.
Well, I've already asked a question.
I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to DataGolf.
Well, I actually already went to that forum and asked if I could actually download the European Tour data instead of actually manually putting it in every week like I have been doing.
What did they say?
They said they would consider it.
Nice.
Yeah, I think there's like a different, I think, paywall now with them that they might put it on that. But, I mean, for my time, if I could just download it, I would pay the extra, like, $100 a year. Just for that.
Yeah, absolutely. How much is your time worth? That's always what it comes down to.
Exactly.
Yep.
So.
All right.
All right. Well, why don't we start you off with your comfort zone with six guys you know.
Six guys I know. All right. So we got Rahm, Maury, Rory, Xander, JT, and Scheffler. One of these things is definitely not like the other. Like, Scotty Scheffler at 10K? Get out of here. Get out of here.
He's playing really well.
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care. Like, I like there's like, does he have a good history going to Europe? Has he been to Europe?
I don't think he's played the Open.
Has he ever actually taken an airplane to Europe? I don't think so.
Sure he has.
Look at his face. He is not well traveled. The
I love that this is your gut hit. This is how you're going to handicap this field. Does it look like you've been to Europe?
I don't think he has. And look, he's definitely playing well, right? Whatever. Like, I think he, I don't remember what he did last week, but it wasn't good. But I know, top 10 at US Open, World Memorial, right? Up until he always has those blow up, whatever holes. Yeah, whatever, man. He's playing well, but dude, I don't know, man. 10 grand for Scotty Scheffler when you get a guy like Hatton who's cheaper than him, who is clearly more familiar with playing in places like that. I mean, look, as much as it pains me to say it, even a guy like Fleetwood, like, come on. Like Fleetwood plays like shit on U.S. soil, but go look at what he does on the Euro Tour. Like, Scotty Scheffler is insanely overpriced. Like, I will have none of him. And I've already made fucking five lineups. So that just shows you what a degenerate I am. I didn't listen to Steve's breakdown. I'll go make my thinkers after. I wanted to make sure I got in because the tournament selection on DraftKings. Hey, DraftKings, this is a better field. How about you make more tournaments for this one instead of that piece of shit John Deere? Like, get out of here with that. Like, fuck, I get to go to a couple, like, GPPs. Fuck off. Made me so irritated this morning.
Co-sign on that, by the way.
Oh, God, I was so irritated when I texted you that this morning.
Because everybody wants to have fun debating if they want to use Seamus Power of Pat and Gazire at about $9,000 this week.
Yeah.
Have fun with that, everybody.
By the way, I am playing Seamus Power.
I know you
are.
So is everybody else.
Yeah, I know. I already looked at
that. That's going to go great for you.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
$9,000 Seamus Power, who I think has only had like 50 rounds combined since like the beginning of 2019.
His name is Seamus Power, sir.
I know.
So anyway. All right. So Johnny Rahm. So I like Morikawa, I guess. The only thing that scares me a little bit is the putting, obviously, with him. But it's the same thing, right? It doesn't have to be exceptionally long, super accurate. I don't think he's going to get in trouble with the longer fescue there. I'm not touching Xander after those terrible wedding photos with his dressed-up animals. Did you see those? Oh, you're not on social media.
Not social media. I am aware they got married.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait. I always forget you don't have them when I see shit like this. I'll send them to you immediately.
That's and okay. Ignorance is bliss. I don't need to. I actually like Xander, so I don't want you sending that to me.
I'm going to send it to you. And it was also, everybody was, act like I'm not going to text it to you. And also, Twitter was hilarious. They're like, oh, look, he's a bridesmaid at his own wedding. Oh, there was so many of those great jokes.
I'm off Twitter.
Anyway, JT, 10-3. Like, I wish it was going to play harder. Because I was like, why is, like, I was, in my brain, I was picturing shitty weather, tough conditions, like easy fade on JT, but if it's really not going to play hard, decent off the tee, great iron player. I don't know. I think I'm just going to go with Morikawa and Rory and call it a fucking day and move on.
Okay. All right. Well, we disagree.
Okay.
So I actually, because I'm not on social media, I don't have Xander Schauffele wedding photos just permeating my brain in order to turn it off. I mean, listen, like Xander's game is definitely suited for a Lynx style, like, golf track like here in rain, good conditions, bad conditions, whatever. Like the guy's just solid and consistent in a lot of parts of his game. You know, he's playing great. I've seen him do well at an Open Championship before and some of these types of venues. So I'm good with that. And I'm good with paying up for John Rahm. I know you're scared because of that price tag, because you're not comfortable going down real deep, but I'm very comfortable with a lot of cheaper guys under $8,000 and even under seven too, that I'm fine with going with Rahm this week and filling out with a couple of Euro guys who are under the radar, because I know Rahm's going to play well this week. I just do. I mean, he has done very well these types of tracks before. He's won at Lahinch, the Irish Open, which is actually a true Lynx golf course, not that BS Jack Nicklaus design that they played last week. So I think he's played well at the Scottish. I think a couple other Scottish Opens too. So I have full confidence in Rahm. I'm not afraid to pay up for it and filling out with some Kajurian stuff below that. I mean, as far as I think I agree with you, Scottie Scheffler. I just don't really know what I'm going to get from him. It is different coming over here. Like, it's slower greens. I know it's technically a bent grass, but it's fescue. It's a different type of bent, like, grass too. It just is like, you know, even like with a ball in the fairway, it just sits differently. Like, it takes a lot of experience and patience in order to play like a Lynx golf course. So I think I'm going to pass on him. Say the Morikawa too, just because, you know, I agree with you. I think eventually he can be a really good player over in the Open Championship and some of these types of events. This is the first time I've really seen him at this type of tournament, so I think I'm going to pass there. And I'm passing on Rory too. I did not like what I saw from the Irish Open last week. He was very bad. Like, nothing was firing.
I think he was just tuning up, man. And that's kind of what worries me about Rahm. Like, is he just tuning up for next week? You know what I mean? Like, at 11-5, I feel like I got to think he's actually going to win, and he's not just practicing to win his next major.
I think he might win this week.
Okay.
I think, listen, he might go on a big run, kind of like how Rory did in 2014, just start winning everything. So, okay. Yeah, I'm going with Rahm, going Xander. JT, I actually think can be okay. He played well here last year, even with the, or not last year, 2 years ago in the benign conditions. So that actually might be a good play. Now, I don't know what the ownership is because they just don't have it. Yeah. But I'm going to suspect that JT's probably not going to be very highly owned.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. Just because, I mean, you got Xander around him. You got, you know, Mork. I mean, I just think, like, of these guys, like, he's definitely not playing the best of any of them. I think he's been the weakest of all these guys.
Yeah, you know what's funny?
And I think there is the narrative, like, oh, like, you know, JT overseas, like, he's not really tough. I don't know. I mean, if it's kind of soft benign conditions, I'm probably okay with using him.
So I saw a certain sports book. They were hanging a 30-1 number. People were hammering that fucking shit today.
Wait, really?
Mm-hmm.
JT 30 for the Scott? Where mm-hmm. the hell was that?
I think it was, like, I'll look it up. I'm pretty sure it was fucking TK.
My goodness.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't see anything past 20 for him.
Yeah, me either. And I was like, wait, where the fuck is that book at?
Somebody's going to get fired.
Yeah, maybe. If he wins.
That's true. Only if it hits.
Exactly. All right. So listen, I'm never going to knock you for fucking backing Rahm and thinking he can go on a run. I mean, Rahm's my boy. So listen, if he goes out and strings off a shit ton of wins in a row, great. That's going to make me happy. And yeah, whatever. His number's a little short too, but whatever. It is what it is. I'm going to bet him next week. I know that. So.
Okay. All right. I think we'd be at the $10,000 range. I think we move on.
Yep. How about it?
All right, so $9,000 range. We start with Matthew Fitzpatrick at $9,800, and we go to Will Zalatoris. My big short last week that came through in a big way.
It really did.
He was awful over the weekend. So he's $9,600. Terrell Hatton, $9,400. Christian Bazadenhude, $93. Your boy Tommy Fleetwood, $9,200. Corey Connors, $9,100. Woof. All right. And then Sam Burns, $9,000. So just guessing where the chalk is going to be, it's probably going to be Fitzpatrick, Hatton for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Fleetwood and probably Bazadenhude too. He's been playing really well lately.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really well.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to eat the chalk with Hatton. I'm fine with that. Again, like, kind of like the same thing. Like, I can go Rahm Hatton and then go with a bunch of cheap guys that are going to be probably low owned because no one really knows who they are except for me. So, I mean, listen, I know he missed the cut at the US Open, but the irons are really good. He's great on links golf course. He's won twice that Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. He's got some good finishes at the Scottish Open. He's got some good finishes at the Open Championship. That's why I'm me. You know, I got a funny feeling that I think Sam Burns' game might translate well over in Scotland. Okay. I mean, the price tag is big. I mean, it's 10,000 less than Scheffler, though, and there's still kind of the same question marks. But, I mean, he hits his irons pretty good. Like, you know, he can roll some putts, too. Like, he can just kind of, like, just – I don't know if he can keep it really in the fairway. That's, I think, a problem. But if he has a really good driving week, I think actually he might do okay overseas here. So I don't mind that. I don't think he's going to be very highly owned either because he's kind of between, like, some other sexy, like, Euro names below him, too. And as far as who I'm not going to, I mean, Will Zalatoris, I think he's hit the wall. I didn't like him last week. The ball striking numbers are really coming down on him. The putting is just atrocious. I don't really trust him coming over here. And I'm going to fade Christian Bezuidenhout too.
Ooh,
so okay. He doesn't have a top 30 finish at any Lynx golf course he's played, like really? over in Europe. No, really? Like all his best finishes are like Florida or like South Africa or like the Middle East. Those are like where he plays really good, like traditional, like Bermuda style, like golf courses. For whatever reason on the Lynx courses, and this is scary because like he actually pops up really well. Like I'm looking at like he's hitting his irons great, he's putting really well. Like that's what I'm looking for. But like for whatever reason, like he goes to these Lynx golf courses, like he's never really played well in the Scottish Open. It's like T33 is his high finish, never played well in the Open Championship, doesn't really play well at the Alpha Dunhill Lynx Championship either. So I think he's going to be really popular, and I'm probably going to fade him this week.
All right. I'm fine with that.
All right.
I'm with you on Hatton, right? I'm definitely going to play him here. He's another one I'm a little worried about as far as, like, really trying to focus on next week, but he's 9,400. I know he can go out there and score. I know he's got experience there. And why doesn't Corey Connors fit a course like this?
I mean, he does. You think he's hit the wall, too?
No.
No, what's his recent finishes? You keep talking, I'll look at his recent.
Yeah, that's
finishes.
Fine. And so I just when I look at somebody like that, I feel like he's going to get overlooked, right? But I like him and Sam Burns. I like them both. And it's what's funny is I think most of my teams I've started with just in the 9K range and grabbed two, if not three, of those guys, and then grab some names that I've heard from like whatever random Euro podcast I've listened to during slow weeks. and that's it. I mean, he hasn't been playing great lately, but I don't know. I mean, it's not exactly, I mean, it's a good field, but it's not like a wicked strong field. Like the price tag doesn't shock me for a guy who could be one of the better iron players here. Right. If not in the game right now, I mean, I'm fine with Connors and I'm with you with Burns. Like I think it's the same type of thing. He can get rolling with his putter. I'm tempted to play Fleetwood, but I don't want to. Like I just last time I did that, shit did not work out. So I'm just not going to do that again.
He didn't look all that great last week.
Yeah,
I think it was like a T17 kind of finish. Yeah, and that was a really weak field last week.
I know, but he plays good overseas for whatever fucking reason.
It's comfort zone.
Yeah, I mean I get it. So, but you think Fitzpatrick's going to be super chalked though?
I think he is. I don't like it. I mean, he has not been hitting his irons very well. And the putter's kind of been going for him. It's kind of like all off the tee with him lately, which I don't love. It's bizarro Matthew Fitzpatrick. This is not who he used to be.
No, exactly.
No, exactly. So I think I'm going to pass on him because I like Hatton better for $400 less.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So I'm going to go Hatton, Connors, and I'll probably sprinkle in some Burns, and I'm going to avoid Fleetwood and Fitzy and Will Z. And I guess Gesinte, because you said so.
Okay. All right. So last five starts for Corey Connors: T43 at Quail Hollow, T17 the PGA, T20 at Colonial, T53 Memorial, missed cut at the U.S. Open.
Well, that's not great, Bob.
No,
it's not great. But
you know, stuff turns around quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. And I like to play him. You know, he's a guy who I feel like can get super hot. I really had high hopes for him coming into the season too. So I don't know. It's not over yet. All right. So the 8K range. All right.
Now so, you're going to start sweating.
Now see where I start sweating.
You know most.
I know most of these guys. I know all these guys, actually. So I got Wiesberger, Bobby Mack, Brandon Graves, Higo, Herbert, Keimer, Poulter, Wallace, Horschel, Guido, Palmer. So The ear isn't going back to back weeks, right? Like, that's not happening, right? So I'm just going to go ahead and avoid him. I don't play.
Can you say who the ear is for people who don't know?
Oh, yeah, Herbert. Yeah, yes. Sorry.
Yes. Sorry. If you have not seen his headshot, you should go look at it. There's it's like he got scolded in prep school and the teacher yanked his ear so hard it's now sticking out.
Yeah, it's like your face is going to stay like that if you keep making it. And so I don't play Brennan Grace out of principle because he's a dick. I'm not playing Ryan Palmer here. I just can't picture him playing well here. I just can't do it. Just can't do it. There's another guy where I look at his face and I'm like, nope, that guy does not do well in Europe.
All right, so far you've named like four guys who you're not playing.
Yeah,
are you trying to like just process elimination who you're going to play?
Yeah, this is how I do it sometimes, right? Like if I don't love a range, I'm like, all right, who am I not playing? Like let's try to whittle it down a little bit. I like Bobby Mack, but I don't know. I don't think he's strong enough to win with the names up top and above him, right? I just don't.
He's a very popular pick this week too. Scotland Open, Scotland rep Bobby Mack. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. Narrative Street. Right. And unless I'm right in the narrative street, I don't like it. I like Higo. Higo's been playing really well. 8,600. He's fine. Keimer. He's been playing real well. Playing over in Europe. I think Keimer is in my couple lineups that I've already made.
Keimer's playing very well lately.
Yeah. All right. So I'm bad. Oh shit. Did I bet Keimer? Oh, yeah. And I bet Keimer already. So, yeah. Keimer. I'm playing Keimer. I like Guido just because, whatever, he's fun to fucking watch, man. That's a fun young kid to watch. That Sky guy who's on with Mayo or whatever on the Mayo Media Network, like, they were all over that dude. And so, like, I started watching him, and I was like, oh, look at this dude making a nice little charge. Did Rogers just put it in the woods?
I haven't really been watching. I've been trying to focus on this DraftKings tier.
Yeah, well, listen, man, I got money on this stupid shit and fucking they're down three with like,
yeah, that's six to go. Quick.
Yeah, that's not great, Bob. Yeah, all right, so I'm going to play, Keimer because I've already bet him and he's been playing well. I guess Higo and Guido. I'm not playing Billy Horschel over there either. Some loud Florida asshole over in Europe. He's going to get in trouble before they're, you know, whatever. Matt Wallace has just been super disappointing. That's somebody who I wanted to play. But I don't know, man. I feel like the kind of shine's kind of off him lately.
But yeah, his results on the links courses haven't been all that great either.
Weird. Like, so are you getting the links courses data off of Data Golf?
No, I had to go look this up on a different website. Okay. The problem is that they only had Carnoustie on Data Golf. They didn't have like anything else, which kind of was disappointing. So,
okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'll write to their website again.
Yeah, do it. Let's do it.
All right. So I'm gonna start with just guys I like. Because yeah. I knew who I liked. I mean, you're not playing Brandon Grace out of principle. I am playing Brandon Grace. He's been killing it lately.
I know, he's been real
he
good.
He does have good track record on these types of links golf courses too. I think he has a top 10 in the Open Championship. He has a couple top 10s in the Scottish and Alfred Links. So I'm good with him. Like, the putter has been good. Like, he's been in his irons great. That's exactly what I'm looking for. I'm with you on Martin Keimer. He's playing awesome. And kind of like with him is, like, he goes on these hot streaks. And when he does it, you kind of want to ride it. Like, he's hitting his irons awesome, and the putter is on too. Like, that's similar to like when he goes on these big runs. Like, when those are firing, he's got big ceilings. So I like him. Ian Poulter's playing great lately too. His ball striking has been pretty good for the past like 16 rounds. Like, the putter has been going well. If this is gonna be a putting contest, I like Poulter. He's been good the Renaissance course too.
Okay.
I like him. I'm with you on Guido. Like, he's like exactly what I'm looking for this week. Great iron player, awesome putter. He's been okay at this golf course too, so that's fine. And then who I'm not playing Horschel and Palmer. I don't think they belong in this range, especially Horschel. Like, he never does well when he goes over to Europe and plays these types of events. I think Bobby Mack's gonna be really popular. I like some other guys better, and I think if he's as popular as how I think he's going to be, I'm probably going to be off him and pivot to like a Keimer or Poulter or something like that. So those are my four guys. Not going to play Horschel or Palmer. I'm kind of lukewarm on everybody else in this range.
Okay. All right. Well, before we get to the $7,000 range and where I get lost in the weeds, you know where you can't get lost in the weeds? Prop Swap. It's America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Find the best odds on NBA championships when you buy directly from other bettors on PropSwap. See a ticket you like, but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for your for a price you think is fair, and then buy it. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time with one click of a button, and PropSwap gives you suggested price tool to let you know how much your ticket is worth. This week, a PropSwap customer sold a $200 12-1 Phoenix Suns championship ticket for $1,200, a 5x return for the seller, and adjusted odds of -160 or better for the buyer. Better than every sportsbook in the country. With sportsbook, oh, with PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Think of it like the stock market, but for sports betting. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to a $500 bonus in cash. Go to PropSwap.com and download the PropSwap app today. All right, 7K range.
This now is, we're gonna have some fun.
Yeah, this is where I'm gonna need guidance.
Oh boy, here we go. All right. Do you want to go first? You want me to go first? I think you should go first.
You think I should go first?
I think, right. Yeah. I want to hear where your head's at with 90% of guys. You probably could not even pick out a lineup, and you probably have never even seen them swing a golf club.
Yeah, look, there's plenty of guys like that, right? There, I mean, there really is. So one, two. I know who Bland is only because of recently. Three.
Yeah.
Four, five, six, seven. 8, 9, 10, 11.
Okay.
Well, those are the people I've never seen swing a golf club, but I'm not even done counting.
Okay. Can you just get out of the way and just say you love Thomas Peters this week?
I do love Thomas Peters this week. But here's guys I want to know about, right? So I like Danny Willett this week too. But I also heard Dietrich's name, Armitage's name, Ryan Fox. And the Jordan dude I was talking about before.
Jordan Smith.
Yeah, there you go. Jordan Smith. And it's not even from this week. It's from literally it's from a couple like slow weeks ago, like when I was hearing about these guys. So if you like them, let me know.
Okay. I mean, I like Armitage. Okay. I mean, he's been playing pretty well lately. The ball striking's been good. He's a good putter. I think he's got 4 top tens in his last 10 starts. Good with that. Dietrich's been all right. Like, he's been riding a pretty hot putter. He's like diet Thomas Peters, though. So
okay.
Yeah, I figure, like, if I'd rather just play Peters at that point. I think he's a better player than him. And then who's there? Jordan Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was supposed to be, like, the next big English guy. I think he finished top 10 at, I want to say, Baltusrol in 2016. Or maybe it was Quail Hollow. He finished top 10, like one of the PGAs. And he was going to be really good. And then he just kind of fell off the map. But he's been playing a little better lately. I think he's got 4 top 25s his last 10 starts. He's been hitting. The problem is his irons and putting has been that great. I think he's been carried by, like, off the tee in, like, short game. And I don't think it's going to be that type of tournament this week.
Okay.
So I'm not on him. And then Ryan Fox, I think he's. Is he getting steam, like, this week?
No, I'm telling you, dude.
Ryan Fox is a big hitting Australian who I think finished like 3rd at the Scottish Open a couple years ago.
Okay.
He's basically Luke List.
Ooh.
So,
okay,
horrible putter. Good ball striker, horrible putter.
Okay. All right. Yeah, thank you for putting that on my level. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. That's a good comparison. But I mean, there are a lot of guys I like in strange. Like Andy Sullivan, remember him, the Ryder Cupper? He's playing a little better lately. Like, you know, he's been hitting the cover off the ball, been putting really good. I like him. Beef Johnson, too. He's kind of seen like a little bit of revitalization in his career. I think he was bad on injuries for a while. He's playing good lately. Played really good at this event last year, too. I'm on him. I mean, if you want to keep riding the Dick Bland train, he's playing great.
I mean, the guy's like, what, 48 or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, he's got 4 top 10s in his last 10 events. He's hitting the ball great. He's putting great. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Yeah, Jason Scribner. He's another talented Aussie guy. He's playing awesome lately. I think he played well at the Irish Open last week. I think he played well at the BMW International, too. Like, he's actually one of the, like, this, like, in the short term, one of the, like, stronger Euros in this field lately. Like, he's been playing great. Matthias Schwab is this really talented Austrian. He's having the cover off the ball, too, playing really well lately. I like him. The problem is his putter is so bad. He's kind of like poor man's Morikawa. Like, okay. The iron play is awesome. The putter is garbage, though. So okay. It kind of depends on like what shows up. I mean, I already said I like Armitage. He's playing good. And then two guys down, like, you know, $7,200. You know, everybody wants to talk about Robert McIntyre as a talented Scot. Like Callum Hill, he's another talented Scot too. He's playing really great lately as well. And then Kale Samuja, he's a talented Finland guy. You know,
Who?
Kale Samuja.
Who the fuck?
I don't even know if I'm saying the name right, but he's
plays. Give me his price.
He's $7,200. KALLESAMOOJ.
Oh, I just see Samuja. Okay.
Yeah, Samuja. Yeah, so he plays the Renaissance Club pretty well. He's got top 25s in the last 10 events. He's been putting pretty well. The ball striking's been pretty good lately. I like him too. So yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of these guys. That's why I said up top, I wasn't afraid to go with like a Hatton or a Xander, like a couple of those more popular guys, or even Guido's probably gonna be popular too, because I know there's a lot of guys in the $7,000 range that will not be popular that I have confidence in this week that I can go to.
All right, I like it. Yeah, like this is one of those weeks where I just want to like download your brain so I can like MME like the Scottish Open, but there's no fucking good tournaments other than one. Like, it's garbage.
Do you want me to just send you my spreadsheet after I'm done?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. All right, I'll do that. Color code and everything.
Nice, I like it. All right. dummy proof. I'm not even gonna attempt the $6,000 range. I know like fucking five guys. I know Donaldson, Campillo, Molinari's brother, Graham. Yeah, like I told him off the jump, like offline. I was like, I'm not gonna come on here and pretend to fucking give picks for guys I don't fucking know. So like, I'm gonna listen to smarter people than me this week and whatever. Oh, Hoppy, fucking Bodrat's in this thing.
Yeah, he is.
Get the fuck out of here.
I think he actually played the Irish Open okay last week.
He did actually. Yeah. I think I saw that. I didn't know
he's been. He's been one of the worst players on the PGA Tour for like the last 2 years. Yeah, I'm not even sure how he has like. How does he have status? Like, status?
I don't. Yeah. I don't know. I wanted the same thing. But, idea. Holy shit, what happened to Biergarten?
Oh, he fell the map.
My God, 6,200 in this field?
I mean, he...
That
he
man beat Tiger.
Yeah. And then Tiger's career went down the crapper after the Masters, and so did his.
That's right.
So, yeah, that wasn't great.
I mean,
Dodo's playing pretty well. Molinari's brother. But yeah. I mean, I think he's gonna be popular. I think he's gonna be popular because he did well at the U.S. Open, and he's a Molinari, so people know him. There's a guy named Dale Whitnell. He's been playing pretty good lately. He's got five top 25 finishes in his last 10 starts. He's been hitting his irons pretty well and putting well in his last 16 rounds. So I haven't had to dip too much under seven with some of my builds, but when I'm using ROM, I had to. So that's the guy I've been going to, is that Whitnell guy. Whitner. So. Dale
Whitner. Whitner. W-I-N-T-H-E-R?
No. W-H-I-T-N-E-L-L.
What the fuck is that dude?
$6,700.
I was just there. Oh, I said Whitner and Whitnell.
Whitnell. Whitnell. Yeah. So that's a guy who kind of pops up in the sad model as far as playing well lately. Other than that, though, is him and, like, Daniel Van Tonder is kind of – he's been hitting the ball pretty well lately. He can't putt a lick, though, but – he's been playing he's had some decent form his last 10 starts. That's kind of another guy you might want to go to. But yeah, I mean, I was more than comfortable with a lot of guys in the $7,000 range this week that I didn't have to dip under seven.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, listen, before we jump into, well, I guess we still got to do one and dones and betting. And by the way, have you checked the standings on the one and done in the Mayo Cup?
No.
No, I just didn't know if I was still ahead of you or not. That's all. Well, listen.
Look at, no, you. I don't think you were, because didn't you have Cantlay in the Mayo Cup?
Last week, yeah.
Oh, all right. No,
I
have
to. I was just doing it because I know it irritates you.
That's fine. If we do week by week, who's been better has been me.
So. It doesn't matter. All it matters is
the scoreboard. You got your 1 week score, and then you cheated in ours, by the way. Yeah, you want to mention that as well? Yeah.
I didn't realize I cheated. You know my organizational system. It's not great. All right. Well, listen, before we keep our petty bickering back and forth, listen, you got to make sure you head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for a free $25. That's right. Sign up now for a free shot at $1 million. Draft day is happening 7:13 at 1 p.m. Pacific. Ryan, Real Money Kramer, will be drafting Underdog best ball teams for 24 hours straight. You can hop on the stream and draft with Kramer and the guys. Plus 15 entries to the Best Ball Mania 2 will be giving out. If that wasn't worth it, there's if that wasn't enough, there's a $500 draft day props contest based off Kramer that you can only enter in the app. So download the app today and sign up at underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Oh, I'm 100% going to jump in on that. Wait, yeah, so where's the draft day props that we can bet based off Kramer? That's going to be interesting.
That'd be very
fun. That's going to be interesting. And listen, last but not least, don't forget to go download our app at the Google Play Store or Apple Store. The app gives you easy access to all our picks and podcasts. Don't forget to toss us a review on the app as well. All right. So, you got a big short this week? There's no big short, right? You got a big short this week?
All right. Yeah, I do have a big short. I mean, it's hard for me to gauge because I don't know where the ownership is. But I just have a sense of Christian Bazan, who's going to be popular this week. And I just look at the fact that I have not seen a top 30 finish out of him at a link style golf course in his career. So I'm going to say he finishes outside the top 30. And I think he's going to be popular because he's been playing well. That's my big short this week.
Okay. All right. I like it. And we got to do what? We're doing one and done for the deer. The deer. You're on mute. Yeah, I'm
well, that's how I'm just maybe that was subconsciously. I don't want to talk about the John Deere. So
yeah, you really don't. All right, so just let's deal with the one and done for the
really
John Deere.
I really don't like the John Deere.
I know you don't. No one likes the John Deere. It's trash. Give a one and done.
All right. Well,
we have to pick one anyway.
I haven't used Brian Harman. He's been playing well this year or this week or lately. I'm picking Brian Harman. That one and done.
All right.
I've already used Brian Harman in the SGP one.
Okay.
Unlike you, that can't keep track of this stuff. So
dude, I can't keep track of fucking anything. I can't keep track of that shit. I'm using Siwoo.
Okay.
Did you use Siwoo? I have not used Siwoo yet, believe it or not.
All right. So you're going to use Siwoo.
I use Siwoo, right? He's taking next week off. He wants to be super dialed in before he goes and tries to play his way out of military service. Like, I feel like this is the week to finally use Siwoo.
He's dead to me, by the way. He cost me a matchup on Sunday.
Oh, it was terrible. Listen, I wish you really would have consulted me before that. I woke up late and I saw that and I was like, nah, you shouldn't have done that one.
I mean, it's not like Kyle Stanley lit up the world. He couldn't even beat him.
I know, but it doesn't matter. Like, if Siwoo's not locked in, fucking Christ, they're up. They're up 3 with 5 to go. Kill me. There goes me chasing my Tampa Bay Lightning money from last night. God damn
it. Sorry, we're going to win it all back with the Scottish Open, something you never bet.
Yeah, this is fair. This is fair.
And then we're just going to turn to a Euro Tour podcast the rest of the way.
That can't happen. All right, I do so enjoy it, though. So let me ask you something. So where are we going to watch this fucking thing? What channel is it?
So it's going to be on Golf Channel from like 7 a.m. to like 12:30.
But doesn't it start at 2:30 in the morning?
No, that's the Open Championship.
The Scottish Open.
No, it starts at like, if the coverage is 7 to 12:30, like we're not getting the whole thing. Open Championship next week is going to be like 2 a.m. to like.
Oh, I got you. So wait, but we're not going to be able. So, but it's still going to be live golf at 7.
Yeah, it's going to be live. Okay. It's just you're only going to see like, they're going to start with like a couple of groups left and then you're at like 5. It's coffee golf, man.
That's fine. Listen, I'm fine with it. I just want to know where to go. That's all.
Yeah, just golf channel.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. So let's do the betting card.
Yeah, this is you, man. I got outrights and outrights only. And like I said, I'm looking for guidance and I'm turning to people smarter than me this week.
All right. Well, so the problem with first round leaders for these European like tournaments over in Scotland, you kind of want to look to see if there's an advantage of one waiver or not. The problem is there isn't on Thursday. It's pretty calm, benign conditions the whole time. So, I mean, good luck. I would say just throw a couple names out that we like tonight as your first round leader, see what happens. So,
sure.
So I don't have any leans or anything for first round leader. Great. But great. So why don't
Thanks.
We go like right to
Thanks, positional Steve.
Prop. Welcome. Why don't we go right to positional prop? So top 10, I mean, the top 10 market is not very good. A lot of top guys are like very front loaded because it's very top heavy field.
Yeah.
So, but I found Guido and Migliozzi at +225 for a top 10. I like that. I think he's been great. But that's the only top 10 I'm on. I got a lot of guys on top 20, but top 10, that's the only one I did.
Oh, wait, hold on. So I got Guido. Oh, you said top 20.
No, top 10, Guido.
Oh, I get my +375 at your old book.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Getting that right now. Yep. Thank you. and no diddy.
That's depressing.
Sorry, buddy.
I think at one of my books, he was like +180.
Yeah, +375.
Sure, it's not top five.
No, top 10. I just double checked. Top 10.
There's no dead heat with that?
No, there's no dead heat. You know there's no dead heat with this book. Stupid New York State.
That's very unfortunate for your boy.
Oh, Keimer's plus 400. What do you think of that?
Well, I like that, but I got bigger things in store for Keimer.
All right.
Well, if you want to double up on your outright with the top 10, go for it. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. All right. Why don't we go to top 20s then?
Let's do it.
So, I mean, a lot of the guys I mentioned in the $7,000 range, I just ended up going with for top 20. So, Matthias Schwab, top 20, plus 350. Jason Scribner, top 20, plus 350. Kale Samuja, top 20, plus 500.
Marcus Armitage. I'm trying to write these down.
Marcus Armitage, top 20, plus 500. My boy Calum Hill, top 20, plus 500. Then Dale Whitnell, top 20, plus 750.
Ooh, all right. So, all right. I'm just going to have to listen to this.
Okay. We can talk offline.
Obviously. So you say I got Whitnell at plus 650 with no dead heat.
Well, that's pretty good.
But okay. Like some of the other, like Samoja, plus 375.
Well, that sounds good. Well, you don't have to.
I know there's no dead heat. I know. All right. That's what I got to tell myself.
Okay. All right. And then the only other like prop I have, I think Will Zalatoris has really hit a wall. Okay. I think if something up with that game, I can get a missed cut for plus 220.
Okay.
Well, I hit that.
Okay.
I don't like what I've been seeing out of him. Like, and I think some other guys maybe I mentioned might have plus odds. I don't think they were available on, but like Billy Horschel, like same type of deal, like Ryan Palmer too. Like I don't really dig those guys this week. And I'm guessing their missed cut odds probably be like plus 170 or so. So I'm fine with that.
So to miss the cut for.
Yeah, I can't even find it. So I don't have access to Horschel or Palmer.
I got Horschel at plus 125, Palmer at 110. Okay. That's not as exciting.
I would rather Horschel miss cut plus 125.
Yeah, but I got.
All right, why don't you list them off then?
Plus 225 for Will Z. I like that.
What about you didn't like Scotty Scheffler?
Yeah, that's plus 275.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hit that too.
Ooh, Xander's plus 450.
Oh, you're such a bad guy.
Why am I a bad guy? I don't have the love affair that other people have with him. It drives me nuts. Like I'm like just
on his wedding week. You better miss the cut.
Wedding week, yeah, whatever. Who cares? It's because he's got better shit to do than play this. Go try to fucking win a major or win anything, Xander.
Yeah, he's getting prepped to win the major next week.
Great.
How about some matchups?
All right, let's go.
Why don't I go with some matchups? All right, why are you saying I don't like Christian Bazanhut and I like Brandon Grace? I know you're not going to bet this one, but I bet Brandon Grace minus 110 over Christian Bazanhut.
Okay.
I think there might be something to the fact he has never done well in Scotland or the UK.
Right. So,
I really like Sam Horsfield. The problem is he withdrew from the Irish Open last week after a really bad first round.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on with him. Maybe it's an injury, but I mean, that's not really good vibes, but I really like Guido this week. So I got minus 120 over Sam Horsfield.
Okay.
I already said Beef Johnson. He's been playing really good lately.
Okay.
I'm not really digging Danny Willett.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Maybe because I liked him last week. He started off well, and then he kind of faded over the weekend.
I know you chirped me on a fucking Thursday.
I was just, 'cause you do that to me.
No, I blame you for picks I make. That's all I do. I deflect blame and I'm like, you will be my conduit for who I am mad at.
All right. Well, I took Beef Johnson minus 130 or Danny Willett. I really like where Johnson's game is kind of forming, heading right now. And then I really like Matthias Schwab. I gotta hope he putts though, but I'm just a believer in the kid's talent. Aaron Rye is the defending champion. He played okay at the Irish Open last week, so I'm a little scared that maybe like he started to like play better ahead of defend the crown. But like before that, he missed like five straight cuts. So I took Matthias Schwab minus 130 over Aaron Rye. So those are my four matchups.
Okay. I like it.
All right. Is there anything you like just looking at the list?
No.
I mean, there's some like good ones. Like, I mean, you can get, there's like Rom versus Rory or like.
Listen, man, I'm going to take time to digest all the shit you just told me. Okay. And then I will go pick through it and I will find stuff and I'll post it on Twitter and fucking Slack.
All right. There we go. All right. Well, since I've gone first, I know you have outrights.
I do have outrights.
So why don't you go with your outrights first?
It's everybody who I've already talked about. I have no long shots. I need some long shots, too. I got down on Haddon. I got him at 24 to 1. I think he's down to
24.
Mm-hmm. I literally when it opened up Monday morning or whatever, I grabbed the 24-1. What did you get?
I have a 20. I was happy with that.
Yeah, there you go. 24-1.
I missed the boat or something. Like I thought, like I saw like 17 or 18 everywhere, and then I found a 20. I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, 24. Fucking our old book. As soon as it opened, like I try to get it as soon as it opens, and I try to make at least 2 snap bets before that fucking number disappears.
That's a bad number in Adam.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Connors, I got him at 50-1. Keimer 50-1. Higo 40 and Guido 50.
Okay, so you actually kind of, without me telling you, pounded like the optimal like outright price of like Bulls win.
Nice.
So that's good, actually. I like it.
Let's go.
There you go. Yeah, there's a lot of guys
who are still paying a hat at 22-1. I bet you can find it over 20.
No, I already bet 20. It's fine. I'm not going to double down because there's 22 out there.
Okay.
All right. Damn. All right. So I bet had a 20. Brandon Grace was hanging around like 30 a lot of books. I found a 40 on him and I was like, all right, fine. I'll just bet that. Ian Poulter also on my book, at least, I saw a lot of like mid 30s on him. I found a 60 on him and I took that. He's been playing good.
Staying in 50 right now.
Okay. All right. So I found a 60 on him. I'm also with you on Keimer at 60-1. Andy Sullivan is a proven winner on the Euro Tour. He's been playing good at 90-1 on him. And then one guy we didn't talk about. So Victor Perez has missed 4 straight cuts, but he was at all the majors and the Memorial. Like, these are big boy fields. And now he's going back over to Europe. Maybe this is what he needs in order to get things right. He's a really good player. He's won the Alfred Dunhill Links. He's finished well. I think he finished like T14 of the Renaissance last year. 125-1 on Victor Perez.
I like it. You know, it's funny, as I looked at his name, because man, he was so good at, I know you hate the match play, but he was really good at match play.
He was excellent at match play.
He was really good at match play. And he's like, oh, that's somebody who I want to watch. And then he just went out and like missed every fucking cut since then. Yeah. But
well, you know, we get back in in Europe. So
yeah. Like it. I'm fine with that. You got any other outrights? Got some other bombs?
No, that just those 6. And then I don't know. We'll see how I do this weekend. And then maybe I'll bet an outright.
All right, cool. You got any outrights for the deer, or are you just being an asshole?
I'm full boycott.
Okay, all right. So I got Siwoo at, oh, fuck, I didn't write the numbers down. Go find the numbers. I don't fuck it. I just wrote down the names. I got Siwoo, Sheamus, Lebioda, and Muniz. Muniz and Lebioda, I think, are both 66-1. I think Power is 40-1, and I know Siwoo is 33.
Okay. So I only made 4. Why do you like Sebastian Munoz? Just because you always like him?
Yes, because I always like him. Exactly. Okay. And he played well. Dude, it's a birdie fest. He played well. He was in the mix for a while this week. He was fine.
Was he?
Yes, absolutely. Let me just double check. Make sure I'm not fucking imagining things.
I think you might be imagining things.
I don't think I am, though. I really don't think I am. Fucking Christ. I'm on all my Scottish shit. So hang on. Let me click back.
This is great podcasting. As looking at Sebastian Munoz's recent results live. Let's see who gets it first. And
I got it.
T67 at the Rocky Mortgage.
No.
Yeah.
268. No, that can't be right.
All right. So
oh, you struggled to keep pace over the weekend. That's right. Yeah.
T3 Charles Schwab. Cut. T67.
69. Yeah, that's right. So he was what? He was fucking. Yeah, he wasn't doing great. I imagined it.
Damn. You just live your own truth.
I was. What the fuck was that? Who was I thinking about? God damn it. I just wasted that fucking money. Who the hell was I thinking about? Fucking Christ.
That's always great when you think a guy did really well last week, you bet him and you realize, oh, he was actually awful over the weekend. Why did I do
that? Why did I do that?
Like nothing is good about him.
No, like what did I do? Who was I thinking about? Now it's going to drive me nuts. You know what? He'll probably still.
Well, you're going to go bet that too and waste some more money. Yeah, you're going to find out who it really was.
Yeah. Now we're going to see if he's still stat on my PGA Tour app. Yeah.
I think we got in the show.
All right. Let's fucking end it. All right. Steve, anything else to add?
No, nothing. Like I'm really serious, by the way. Like, you can watch the John Deere because it's PGA Tour. I know it's everybody's comfort zone. You're not going to get anything of what happens next week. Wake up early, watch the Scottish Open, watch these guys play, get some intel on some of these European guys we talked about. We're actually going to play next week. Some of them might do pretty well, and maybe maybe one of them impresses you. Maybe next week you get put down a little bit of a long shot, top 10 or top 20 on one of them, and you cash big. So devote some time. I know we don't cover the European Tour a whole lot. This is the week to do it, though. And you won't be disappointed. It's a good golf course, good field. You'll be fine doing it.
I like it. I like it. And I'm just going to add, Bryson is looking for a fucking ball again for like five goddamn minutes. They're up three with five to play. This guy is the worst. He's the worst.
Am I in the nest?
Yeah, you're in the nest.
I think the match needs to be overhauled.
Yeah, it would absolutely does. Brady doesn't need to play anymore. He just disappoints me every time, and I lose money on him. So that, for one. The pace of play is insanely slow.
Like, I know. They
this
gotta...
is longer than – like, if you're stacked up at the tee box with you and three of your buddies, like, it's a fucking – what it started at fucking 5:30. We're 4 hours and 20 minutes in, and they're not fucking even close to done. Like,
so here's the other thing, too. This would be great if it was, like, December – when it's all snowy, it's all cold weather. We got nothing to do. This is summer. Like, I don't really care about this, like, right now at this time of year. Like,
I do. I have a hurricane coming. It's July. Fucking December, we got football, Christmas. Like, this is the week to do it. They knew. They were like, hey, what week is the John Deere? Let's put the match on the same week as the John Deere. We'll get a bigger handle. Whatever, man. Fucking, I don't know. He's done this twice. It took him like 6 minutes to fucking find a ball prior. It drove me insane. I was like, dude, this is a fucking charity match. He wanted a mulligan. He asked for a fucking mulligan.
Did he really?
Hmm. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. Bryson shouldn't play one of these things again.
No. I like Phil. Like, I like Phil. Phil at least is entertaining.
Can Phil just play by himself? That'd be fine. I'd be fine with just watching Phil just, like, I don't know, play left-handed and right-handed. That'd be fun.
Yeah, and actually, you know, sneaky entertaining was Rogers, who I find is like a smarmy fuck. I don't really like him that much. But he was sneaky funny today, from at least what I heard. And give me Phil with, like, fat stacks of cash is on top of charity, throwing down, like, 10 grand on a shot. Like, give me that. I'm watching that all fucking day.
Yeah, see, that was what... this was supposed to be like, it was supposed to be Phil and Tiger putting up their own money.
Money. Exactly.
And they're like, what? And the PGA Tour was like, whoa, hold on. You can't play for more than we get the FedEx Cup winner. And B, we got to like, you know, we can't have it just like gambling, even though we want to go all in on gambling. We got, you know, DraftKings, our sponsor. We're just have that over our website, but we can't actually have you guys actually gamble on the golf course, you know, on TV.
Yeah.
And that's when.
Which is why people like golf and end up liking golf. That's why guys like me don't play golf until like their late 20s. And you're like, oh, don't do any other sports. I like to gamble. Seems like people like to golf and gamble. And then you become a complete fucking hardcore maniac.
Exactly.
Yep. There you go. All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter, Boston_Capper. Go read Steve's articles. Brush up, man. Get he's got his Scottish Open picks and props, and he breaks down the course for anybody who wants to go outside his picks, which wouldn't be smart. But yeah, man, come to the Slack channel. They're all at the bottom of all of Steve's articles, and that's it, man. Let's break some European books this week. Let's fucking go, boys.